whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I really wish, all of you a good morning. I really wish people would stop with the whole argument of PJ Flex coaching record and saying, well, he needs to beat someone big in a bowl.
He does.
Get to a big bowl game.
He really does.
I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of it. Okay? They win the Duke's Mayo Bowl the other night, relatively convincing fashion. It gets a little closer near the end. They've won 4 bowl games in a row. They have won 6 total since he's been there. He is 6-0 since in all bowl games. And, yes, it was the Quick Lane Bowl, the Outback Bowl, the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, Pinstripe, Quick Lane, and then Duke's Mayo. And I think it was the Outback Bowl. That was the Auburn win, correct?
Yes.
Was that when they beat Auburn in 19?
It was.
It's
a big win.
This idea that it's just easy and anybody can get to a bowl game and win and have a good record. He's 6-0 in bowls. He's 58-39 in 8 years at Minnesota. That's nearly a 60% winning percentage. He wins 60% of his games. That's not bad.
It's not bad. It's not bad. And, Dave, you know, the reality of it is there are people out there who just don't like PJ. And it is what it is. And they never will. He can do no right. He can only do wrong. But I think the reality is if those people and everybody else just steps back just a little bit and they say, okay, let's take a look at PJ Fleck, like you were just talking about. What are we, 5-0 in bowl games or something like that? Or
6-0.
6-0 in bowl games. 2019, we had 11 wins. 21-22, 9 wins. We've had almost 400 academic all-Big Ten players. But here's the other thing. Okay, so people could say, well, you know, that's the Bulls. It is what it is. But, you know, we still aren't anywhere elite. Oh, okay. Well, we're the number 6 defense in the entire country in total yards and the number 10 in the entire country at points against. So we're doing something right. We hired a great defensive coordinator that we just had to break the bank a little bit to keep him around for, I think, $1 million contract. But Corey Heatherman is a great defensive coordinator, and he's doing an outstanding job with the Gophers. And even though we might not get the same talent level, let's say, as maybe Ohio State or Michigan or maybe throw in Oregon and some of the other schools, we're playing at that level. And I still go back, Dave, if you look at this season – and you and I talked about, are we going to get an 8 wins this year? And I said, yes, we're going to win 8 games. Well, we ended up getting that, but it's not. I'm not going to hang my hat on that because that included the bowl game. But the North Carolina game, it was one play away, a missed field goal from a guy who's supposed to be one of the best kickers there is. Michigan, the offsides penalty. Penn State.
I was just talking about that to my neighbor the other night. They should have been 2 more wins.
And Dave, how about 3? How about the Penn State game? We actually had them on the ropes. They had a 4th down conversion of the guy ran for like 28, 30 yards or something like that, and they were on a fake punt, and they were able to squeeze by a point against our Gophers. So Penn State right now, what? Aren't they in the Final 4? Yes, they are.
They are.
and they're probably one of the more aggressive teams right now in this group, right? I mean, so I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see how that all changes, you know, when we get the games, Ohio State and Texas and Penn State and Notre Dame and everything else is going to be great. But the reality is Gopher football is at a different level right now than we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And it's because what PJ Fleck has been able to do.
PJ Fleck's winning percentage. Okay. And I'll go back to this again because I just go back and forth on it, okay? I would you agree that Murray Warmath was a pretty good coach?
Pretty good
at the University of Minnesota.
He's looked upon as one of the all-time greats. Yeah.
Pretty good, right? Yeah, pretty good.
Yep.
53% win percentage and went 500 in bowl games. Granted, it was just 1-1. There were a lot less bowl games. Mm-hmm. Glenn Mason, pretty good coach, right?
Yep.
Pretty good University of Minnesota coach. 53% win percentage, and he went 3-4 in bowl games.
Yeah.
PJ Fleck is at 60%. 60%.
Yep.
Better than those two and behind Bernie Bierman.
Yeah.
6-0 in bowl games. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else it's going to take for people to realize that he's a good coach. I think what's this, Andy Greeter? It sometimes messes me up when we have and we don't. But when we had Andy Greeter on talking about the difficulty it is to have that 5 weeks off between bowl games or between games when you finish and then you play the bowl game. But in six consecutive times, he and his coaching staff have prepared their team better to win over that stretch. Six times. You look at this, and I get it if you don't like his shtick. I get it maybe if you don't think that he's a better recruiter than he is a coach. But, and you know, we'll go back to what you said about Kevin O'Connell. Who you choose to surround yourself with and hire on your staff is also important. And PJ Fleck surrounds himself with good people.
Yep.
A good coach surrounds himself with people who make up for his shortcomings. And so I think he understands what he's good at and what he's not. Again, I think people should really just sit here and maybe enjoy the fact that you have a coach that has this program not only relevant but successful. And you stop looking elsewhere saying, why isn't that coach here? Why isn't someone else coach here? Mm-hmm. PJ Fleck is a good football coach. He has had great success at the University of Minnesota, and I will die on this hill.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the reality is, you know, each and every year he gets all this criticism. But, Dave, look at the talent that we've already gotten just this year in the portal. I mean, we are one of the higher-end yep. schools right now in terms of grabbing players out of the portal. Yeah, we've lost some, too. Everybody's going to lose some players because there are guys that are there on the team that realize the person in front of them is better. They need to go somewhere else, and they are going to jump in the portal to do that. Well, we've done a great job in the portal. We've done a great job with signing the guys that we've been able to recruit around the country, including the university or the state of Minnesota. I'm impressed with the fact that he's one of the very rare coaches, I think, at the University of Minnesota, who's been able to get the kids to stay here at home. And if mm-hmm. they didn't stay here, he gets them on a second shot. So I love that because, I mean, the easiest one to look at is Parrish. I mean, Coy Parrish is an absolute animal. That kid, I think he could potentially, and it's not that big of a stretch to say he looks a lot like a Travis Hunter, right? I mean, he's mm-hmm. on the defensive side of the ball. He's also a returner. If he gets on the offensive side of the ball, he doesn't have to play every play. But if he gets out there and plays on some of these plays, he is explosive and fast enough and athletic enough to be a really amazing receiver, I think, for the Gophers, too. So,
Do you think they've had those conversations with him already?
Absolutely.
I do, too.
And I would bet you he went into the office and said, look, yeah. I want to get on the offensive side of the ball. How do I do it?
Yeah.
Because I think he could do it. And, you know, back in the day, that wasn't you get to college and now all of a sudden everything, you know, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. I think it's okay if you've got the right players out there that he could be an outstanding receiver for us. And we have great receivers already. But I think he makes that receiver room look even better.
Into the WCCO talk and text line, 651-461-9226. I'm going to read this verbatim because I was asked to. Please say, there are a lot of people like me that love PJ Fleck. There are a lot of people like me that love PJ Fleck. Also here, a text, what's his Big Ten winning percentage? Nobody cares about non-conference and bad bowl opponents. Auburn was a legit win. Other games against unranked teams. Someone wants to make a bet with you, Pete. Mm-hmm. I'll bet you $50 and give you 100-1 odds that Fleck won't win the big title in the next 5 years.
The Big Ten title?
Yeah.
That could
be. So if someone says, wait, put your money where your mouth is.
Well,
do you think $100 is big to come on? This isn't a Jerry and we're talking about.
It's a lot of money. I don't care who you are. Just kidding. But the reality is this. Do we win the Big Ten? Well, let me ask you this. My answer back would be, well, I think we have a better chance right now than with any coach that we've yes. had in a very long period of time. And the reason I say yes. that, even more importantly now, how about NIL? Let's see Who are the schools that have the best? Put that number up there, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look over at Ohio State. He's the head coach there who almost got fired. He's only lost like 6 or 7 games in his career as Ohio State's head coach, and they want his head because they lost to Michigan, right? I mean, that shows you where this all is really going. But the reality is he's getting $10 million. You know what PJ's getting? I think it's 6. So they've got the money for the coaching and the number of coaches they've got at places like Ohio State, at Michigan, the places that get the money from the alumni, right? I mean, that is something that you've got to acknowledge, if nothing else. I mean, do I think that our NIL money goes up against USC very well? No chance in heck, right? I mean, or Michigan, or Ohio State, or, you know, Penn State, or Oregon. Oregon, by the way. When you've got the
they
man who
terrible.
Found right, but they did. But what did they finish up? 13-1. They were undefeated. Yeah. And they got the crap kicked out of them in the Rose Bowl. That was unbelievable. But why did they get there? Well, they got a pretty decent guy who happens to have started the company Nike, who gives them a fair amount of money. Right,
a lot of money.
We don't have that here. So when you consider some of these things to win that title, you've kind of got to pay every year. Look at Ohio State. Each year since they've had the opportunity, new quarterback, new quarterback, new quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's what the schools are now doing. And we jumped into that. But we can't get the quarterbacks money-wise that they're getting. So that, I think, has to be factored in to some degree as well. So when I look at us and we competitively get on the field at Michigan, we competitively get on the field against Penn State, we are going up against somebody who has a lot more opportunity than we do in terms of trying to get these players to come to their school.
I love this text. I will take being relevant and watchable, which they are now. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with
Absolutely.
That. Another person says, went to the U in the late 80s, early 90s, never went to a football game in that awful Metrodome. All right, it wasn't awful. The Metrodome had charm. But mostly, they were an atrocious football team. I'll take being relevant and watchable. Mm-hmm. I think the point people are trying to make, guys, is until you bring a national title home, just like the Vikes. Interesting. You're just an average football team. No, you're not just an average football team until you win it all. Mm-hmm. That's this idea that you have to win everything to be better than average is false.
Right.
And you can be better than average and not win a championship. There's a lot of football teams this year alone that were better than average that are not going to win a national championship.
Right.
Arizona State is not going to win a national championship. They were better than average.
Yeah.
Oregon is not going to win a national championship. They were better than average. You can't just pin all of your success on winning a national title and that's it. Mm-hmm. You have to have what you want for your team, but you also have to be realistic about expectations and understand that sometimes, you know, we're also just entering this new world of NIL. Mm-hmm. And we talk about it a lot, but that's going to change everything in the next five, even more so in the next 5 years. Mm. We will remember this time, I think, as the pinnacle of parity in college football. Because guys, truly now you can go wherever you want because you can, if you have the money and the means, and it's going to change everything. And I think it'll change some more things here at Minnesota. And my favorite text, just beat Iowa and or Wisconsin every other year, and I will be happy.
Well, that is a traditional thing to do, right? I mean, those are our big battles. And shoot, I'm telling you, we're getting closer to being able to be competitive each year against a team like Michigan as well. And at some point
they almost beat them this year.
Right. And we've had some close run-ins with them. So we're not that far away. And I think that if we can continue to do some of the recruiting that PJ's been able to do, and I haven't seen other coaches be able to do what he's accomplished already, is getting that next level of talent. Can we get as much as Ohio State does? No. But if we can get a piece here and a piece there and a piece here and a piece there, we can be right up there with those schools and be very competitive. So do I see a national title in front of us? No, I don't right now. But that doesn't mean that if we got the right pieces together at the right time, that we couldn't be there. I mean, if you think about it, Dave, every single year, who are the schools that are going to be there? Okay, it's going to be Georgia, it's Ohio State, it's Notre Dame, it's Tennessee, it's this, that, and the other. But there's always a few teams that kind of slide up a little bit, and I think that's where Minnesota is.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll stop there. We'll talk a little more Gopher football coming up at 11:30. Nadine Babu is going to join us from Gopher Hole. We'll talk with her about the bowl game and about where the Gophers are going. But coming up next, the NFL last game of the NFL season is upon us. So we'll talk about our postseason awards coming up next. You're listening to The Huddle. It is the final week of the NFL's regular season. Thought it would be a fun time for us to try to figure out who wins what this year in the postseason. Pete, I want to start with you.
Uh-oh.
Your MVP in 2024 is?
Oh, gosh, this really is tough. I think this year might be as difficult a year as I've seen. Now, Josh and I were just here in studio talking about Joe Burrow and the year that he's had. And a lot of people will push back and say, yeah, but the team doesn't have enough wins, blah, blah, blah. How can you say that?
He also had a slow start to the season.
And he had a slow start. But, you know, if you gauge the entire season, which we now can, they've played their game already, so they've played 17 games. But a guy who throws 43 touchdowns and 9 interceptions, how is he not considered pretty close to as perfect as you can get, right?
And almost 5,000 yards, too.
And wow. Dave, he's also a guy, they still, in all the years with Joe Burrow, they still don't have a very good offensive line. They don't have any defense, which is the problem for him about being the MVP, because they don't have a very good record, right? I mean, there's all of these factors that play in against Joe Burrow. But 48 sacks, and the guy throws 43 touchdowns, I'd say that he has stepped up, and that just shows you the offensive line's not really there. The defense we know is not there. But the sheer numbers just show you that this guy is at an elite level. And, you know, Jared Goff's great. Baker Mayfield, I know Josh is going to have 2 votes for that one that he'll slide in there. But
stop.
He and I were talking about Lamar Jackson. I mean, I have never seen closer to perfection out of a quarterback for a season than what he – I mean, the guy's thrown 4 interceptions, Dave. 4 interceptions.
I know.
It's uncanny.
he's my pick for MVP, Lamar Jackson. I think when you throw 41 touchdowns – okay, so I thought your pick was Joe Burrow.
I love Joe Burrow, but he's not going to get it. I mean,
gotcha.
Do I think he deserves it? I think he deserves it, but if you're not going to go because of the fact of that – I got to slide over what the committee type people are going to say. And I got to look at Lamar Jackson. And it's been all year long. And, you know, the key to it, as you and I talk about all the time, they changed the running game. They got Derrick Henry on the team. Boy, does that change things for Lamar, right? I mean, he doesn't have to run himself
run.
So, that was a special.
40, to only have 4 touchdowns and 41. Excuse me, 4 interceptions to 41 touchdowns is just incredible. And he throws the ball. He's had 474 throwing attempts. That's crazy. And only 4 of those have been interceptions. Nuts.
That's amazing.
Okay, let's roll down the list here quickly. Your offensive player of the year.
That one I can give to Joe Burrow.
Think so?
Yeah.
Over Saquon?
You know what? I know everybody loves this whole thing, and they've fallen in love with the rushing and everything else. And I think the world of Saquon. I really do. I mean, he's over 2,000 yards, right? I mean, how do you not like that? But if I put him there, and you've also already got Derrick Henry very competitively right there with him, right? So that's kind of like one against the other. I think Joe Burrow's year is more impressive to me, at least this year, than Saquon. But if Saquon got it, you know what? He deserves it. Derrick Henry could potentially deserve it. He's got more touchdowns, and he's done an absolutely amazing job. He's slightly better this year when it comes to yards per carry. But those two guys are absolutely amazing.
All right, I'm going to skip down here.
Yeah,
I actually would say I actually think you could make a statement for Josh Allen, considering that he lost Stephon Diggs and he still had a very good season in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, a Buffalo Minnesota Super Bowl would just I think the world would melt after it would it would be incredible. Let's jump to Rookie of the Year really quick. I think this is easy. I think it's Jaden Daniels. Is there anyone else who's even close?
Bo Nix a little bit, maybe, but Jaden Daniels. I mean, what I like about Bo Nix is this. He came in as the least liked quarterback, right? I mean, he was the last guy in the as far as first-round picks. He was at the bottom of the barrel. And for whatever reason, his draft stock just kept dropping and dropping and dropping. But I look at the guy, what he's been able to do with what I don't think is a great team in Denver, but he's done a great job with them. I think he'd be a guy that you'd have to at least consider. But mm-hmm. but you're right. I think with Jaden Daniels, an amazing first season, also on a team that was pretty bad before he got there. And they,
very bad,
and
yeah.
They got a little bit better. But, you know, Bo Nix, I think, for whatever reason, he gets looked past. And gosh, he's a special player.
Yeah. Coach of the Year, I'm skipping this only because we all know it's going to be Kevin O'Connell. Mm-hmm. If it's not, the whole thing's rigged. There's no way it can't be.
I think you're right.
Executive of the Year, I'm reading on NFL.com. They have Brad Holmes from Detroit edging out Brandon Bean in Buffalo and Howie Roseman in Philly. How in the world is Kwesi Adofo-Mensah not even in this conversation? I mean, the guys that he's brought in this year, mm-hmm. I mean, Grenard and Van Ginkle have been incredible. The guys that he's drafted in the last few years have for the most part, been very influential. I mean, even a guy like you pick up Stephen Gilmore late, he's been good. I don't get why he's not getting any love in this conversation. I get that O'Connell's a phenomenal coach of the year. We've talked about McCown and all that. But I really think Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is being overlooked a little bit.
Well, let me ask you a question because I don't know the answer to this one. But here's where I would go with that. When I look at general managers and what they've done for their teams, don't you have to look at the draft and who's responsible for the draft? I know, because I think the head coach is far more relevant when it comes to picking out who do they need, who do they have to have in terms of free agency, right? Because that's really why the Vikings are where they are right now. We did great in free agency. We brought in Cashman. We brought in Van Winkle. Mm-hmm. I mean, we really did a magnificent. Grenard is unbelievable. Yep. So we did a really great job there. I think that's more of a head coaching decision on that side of it. But when you look at the draft, you've got to look at, all right, well, that's more on the GM side of things. And I have not been impressed with that side of it, Dave. And I know that sounds like I'm being overly critical, but if you look at since Kwesi's been here and you look at the draft picks, how many of those guys are even on the team?
All right, well, let's start. So Lewisine was a complete bust, first draft.
Yep.
Andrew Booth Jr. is still here. Caleb Evans has done nice. Ty Chandler has been great. Jalen Naylor's been great. Jordan Addison, very good.
Mm-hmm. We didn't draft him. But, yeah.
Jordan Addison?
Yeah. Did we draft Jordan Addison? I thought there was somebody that we...
No.
Oh, you know what?
He was a draft pick.
We did draft him. Yeah, we did draft
him. Yeah, he was a draft pick.
Yep, that's right.
Dallas Turner was a great pick.
I think
Will
so.
Will Reichert was a great pick.
But a lot of people...
We'll find out if JJ will be.
Think some of these guys are... You know, you and I, just a week ago, we were sitting in here and people were talking about Dallas Turner being a bit of a bust, and I'm like, first of all, I don't agree with that. But
he just hasn't had the chance this year because the guys who were in front of him played so well.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
I think you're right. But, so I guess it depends on what you're really judging things on and how well you think that some of those things really piece together. But, you know, I think that the reality is I look over at the Ravens, too, and I look at their general manager. What they've done with that team, because it's turned over a lot, Dave, over the last couple of years, and they're still really, really good.
They're still doing it. Yeah, year in and year out, in terms of consistency, I agree.
Yeah.
The real travesty here is that nobody asked us. I think that's, I mean, NFL.com.
We don't get votes?
Come on.
Is that what you're saying?
No, when we got all the answers. I don't get it. We're going to have to put in some emails about that. We'll take a quick break, come back, talk a little more Gopher football, Duke's Mayo Bowl. Nadine Babu of GopherHole.com will join us coming up next. We're going to talk a little more Gopher football. Nadine Babu joins us, GopherHole.com, as well as others. Good morning, Nadine. I'm so happy that we have you on the show this morning. First of all, thank you for joining us on the John Schuster Goldbacker Hotline. Good morning. Good morning. We have gone back and forth over this morning already that in order to you the idea that you're either winning a national championship or a complete flop, that there is some gray area in there. And when you look at the season that the Gopher football team had, what is your grade? What do you think of the way that this season went?
You know, I would give them a pretty average grade because they had a couple games that slipped away that really we could have been a 9-10 win season. But how can you leave that Mayo Bowl not feeling like a success? I mean, this is exactly what bowl games are about. They are to have everyone feel like winners that come out of them, or half the teams, I should say, instead of, like, say, the NCAA tournament where everyone feels like a loser except for the national champions. That's the cool thing about college football.
Nadine, I totally agree with you, and I think looking forward to all the things that are going on in terms of the signing dates that we got back, you know, right after the end of the season, and then all of a sudden we've got the portal, and I think we're finding some momentum. I guess the one concern we'd have to have is, what was our best player this past year, and in terms of the team itself, was our quarterback. Do we have what it takes to be able to fill in for him?
You know what, Pete, you'd be better at answering that than me, since you are the absolute expert. let's be honest. I mean, you're a legend. But I will say, aww, though, that if PJ's confident in other options, and obviously we had Drake Lindsay just like pop in there on some surprise plays, that was interesting. I just feel like they're changing it up a little bit on the offense. I think that they're taking some risks. I think Greg Harbaugh Jr. is calling some interesting things. And I just, he's not the kind of coach that's not going to be prepared. So I have a lot of confidence in the fact that we won this bowl game really substantially with a lot of our best players out that decided to sit out, obviously, you know, to go to the next level and make sure they're safe for the NFL, which I have no problem with. But we also have a top 50 recruiting class coming in. So I think there's a lot of momentum and the future is bright.
Nadine Babu joining us. Let's talk about Drake Lindsay. I've been excited about him since I think I heard that he was coming here. He comes from Arkansas, mm-hmm. from a very good school down there. And certainly what we saw last year of him this past season in small doses looks great. What have you seen? What have you heard? And how does the success that Brosmer has had affect him coming into next year in terms of having to kind of carry things along where Max left it?
You know, I think that's a great question, and I almost feel like it's one of those things where Max knew he was leaving. Max knew he only had a year. From everything I've heard about him, he is just an extremely high IQ quarterback. He's smart. He obviously, like, has done a great job for us. So I think that kind of learning from him for the last year, knowing that there's no competition, knowing that he can just transfer over some information, I mean, it was basically a tutorial where no one felt their job was, you know, at risk or anything, and they just knew it was a passing of the baton. So I feel like those kind of things are going to be absolutely huge for him as far as a learning curve for him. Kind of like a Jordan Love coming in for Aaron Rodgers, or Aaron Rodgers coming in for Brett Favre, on a much smaller level, of course.
So you're as excited as I am for 2025, and I guess the only real question mark really is probably at that quarterback position. It seems like we've done a great job recruiting the offensive linemen. We've got, it seems like, a very deep group of guys there, the tight end position as well. Defensively, is there something I'm leaving out right now where we should be a little bit more concerned, though? I think quarterback being one piece of the puzzle, but is there anybody maybe on the defensive side of the ball where we're losing them?
You know, we're obviously going to be losing some guys on defense, but I feel like we have just rebuilt that pretty well every single year. It's funny, one of the former players, Eric Carter, he had actually tweeted me about that and said, you know what, this is like the non-negotiable. Like, the defense is going to be good. And like I said, I think that, you know, obviously players that have played this game are farther experts than I am. But I do think that quarterback position is the one that you just don't know until you see it happen. Because we've seen all these other guys. I think that this is very like a next man up mentality. If someone gets injured, we're pretty deep. There are a lot of options. And it's just really that high pressure situation. You don't know how someone's going to do, you know, like in the 2 minute drill, you know, trying to win the game on the line until you actually see them play. So I have a lot of faith in it, but we won't know until it comes.
Nadine Babu joining us, gopherhole.com, Gopher alum. You have covered everything at this school for a very, very long time. And my first question is, how do you deal with all the, because you deal in message boards and fans with takes where, oh, we hate PJ. PJ's a terrible coach. We have to do this, that, and everything. What, first of all, give me the selling point, and Pete and I are already on this, but why PJ Fleck is good for this program, and also, how do you deal with these people that consistently don't like him no matter what he does?
Oh, boy. Those are loaded questions. So first of all, if I had a nickel for everyone that tweeted me fire PJ, I would be retired, or I'd be as rich as PETA's right now, know? but what I will say is, I mean, there is no one that's giving to this program like him. I mean, he is a businessman. When you look at what he's done, the consistency he's brought, and switching over with NIL, I mean, he is basically the CEO of this company, and he has been raising money. He's been getting guys like Coy Parrish to stay to not even look at other options. It's remarkable that being a Power 5 football coach is a big enough job, and then having to do that on top of it is insane. I mean, you see this guy, he works 24/7. And not only that, but he's also doing so much charity work. You know, he's giving back so much to Masonic and so much to these kids that are struggling with cancer. I mean, Andy Reider just a few minutes ago tweeted about how when a lot of the guys left the game, they didn't have to, but they went and thanked the media. You know, just those little things and those skills. He's not just running a football program. He's developing young men, and he's also winning quite a bit and pretty consistently while he's doing it. To answer another part of your question about what do you deal, how do you deal with the haters? Honestly, you just show them the stats. I mean, it's like, hey, take a look at this. Do you want to see what Tim Brewster did here? You want to see what Jim Wacker did here? Or do you want like a Glenn Mason, a Jerry Kill, a PJ Fleck, you know, and he's done it longer than most of the coaches that we've had that have had success.
And I think, Nadine, the one thing that we can look back on, and we've brought this up multiple times throughout the season and even recently, even today, but when you look at the three games that we lost, North Carolina, Michigan, and Penn State, we were right there. We were right there. And if you flip those three, which we were so close to being able to do that, that changes the dynamic of the entire season, right? I mean, that puts us into a very elite area, to quote the coach.
Correct. I think it's different, too, because, I mean, we've all been there. We've watched the games where we'd have blowouts. We watched the rivalry games where we just didn't even have a chance, you know, and to see that we're in it. I mean, look at this Penn State team. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing phenomenal, and we had them. We could have won that. The Michigan game, it was that awful call. I mean, honestly, the games, the Rutgers game, that was a weird one, and Iowa was better the day that they played us. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we should have probably had two more wins, and then you're looking at a complete different level of accomplishment for this Gophers team, and they were right on that echelon.
Nadine, this time of year we start to hear about the coaching carousel and you know, these up-and-coming coaches. Clearly, the Gophers have a number of them. You got Greg Harbaugh Jr., Corey Heatherman, our favorite guy, Winston Dellatabedere, who we hope stays here forever. But is there a coach on the staff who we hope will stay, but that we may hear a name coming up throughout these next few weeks and months with openings?
Oh gosh, that's really tough to speculate. As I'm looking at my Twitter feed, and it looks like people are trying to take Kevin O'Connell away. But that's a whole other different conversation.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, that's the one thing with PJ though. I mean, like when you see like when Joe Rossi got taken away, we know when we had, you know, a coordinator's taken away, he's always had a backup. And I also think that he's developing these people so they can have opportunities. And I don't know about you, but I think it's great that our coaches are getting recruited away because it's a lot worse when they're fired. So I think it's a great problem to have.
Nadine, I'll even say this. How about Corey Heatherman, the fact that we did sign him? That was huge because he was going to Rutgers. I mean, that was almost done, and we managed to be able to keep him, which was huge. Our defense was the key to a lot of the success of the year, for sure.
Oh, no doubt about that. And he added a ton. And I think when you can lure somebody like that and keep him, I mean, especially, you know, Rutgers is an up-and-coming program, and we've lost some people to there, including, you know, our former quarterback. So it's like when you can kind of make that stance, you're showing like, hey, we're committed to winning and we're committed to keeping guys on this staff that will keep on with that winning mentality.
Nadine Babu, thank you for joining us. I hope we can do this again sometime. I really appreciate your insight on what we believe is a great Gopher season. So thanks so much.
Thanks, Nadine.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Great to have you. We'll take a quick break, come back, and we'll wrap up the show. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO. Tying up the college football conversation. Josh, you had a question.
I do.
Feel free.
I was talking to Pete in the break.
Yep.
Given the expanded playoff format and the rare success, we always talk about Indiana being a basketball school, but we saw them make the playoffs this year with the new playoff format. Pete and Dave, how do you feel about the U of M, not necessarily in the near future, but just in general in the future with the expanded format? Does this help increase your chances and hopes that maybe the Gophers will be in a similar conversation, like, you know, a 2019 situation where we thought kind of they were on their way to something like that?
Yeah.
I think so,
Pete,
Dave. I think the reality is there that it shows you that if you can get enough guys, you don't need to go crazy, but if you can get enough guys to move on and a quarterback, you've got to have the quarterback, I think, because obviously that's your leader of your offense. He doesn't have to break records and all the rest of it, although Max Brosmer did some of that. But I look at that Rourke kid at Indiana, what he was able to accomplish, how well he played that this past year. Yeah. If Indiana can do it, Dave, we can do it. I mean, that is a we have a much better program on the football side of things, at least for sure, than Indiana. And it's a lot easier to recruit here than it is to Bloomington, Indiana. So for all those reasons, and let's not forget, so they get into that game and they got to play against Notre Dame. They didn't get blown out.
They
were respectable. It's 27-17. I get it that fourth quarter, you know, was the scoring points basically for Indiana. But nonetheless, they stood up tall and they played against a team that might just win the entire thing. So I think that they showed pretty well in that game.
I agree. I think it gives hope. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this Indiana team this year, When you really deep dive on what they did, they put up 56 points on Nebraska. They beat Purdue. Again, not bad, not good teams, but they scored 66 points and shut out Purdue.
Uh-huh.
Like, they were running it up against not the best teams, but not complete cupcakes either. Not, you know, they put up 77 on Western Illinois. We'll take that one out of it. 42 points on UCLA. 42 points against Maryland, 41 against Northwestern. They were just demolishing teams. So I think that this gives me the hope that that the Gophers could do this, but I still don't think that in its current state that they're one or two seasons away from being in Indiana.
Well, we've got so many different pieces to the puzzle now.
Yes.
That's why I'm encouraged even more. And I say this as a guy who's still I got my questions about the portal. I've grown to understand it a little bit better than I did. But I think that the reality is if you can get just a few pieces of that puzzle and you get a little bit of luck along the way and health and everything else, you look at that Indiana, what they were able to accomplish. Like I say, I think that Minnesota is a far better place to recruit from than Indiana. And so because of that, they got a great coach down there, no doubt about it. And I think they got really fortunate on that quarterback. But they really looked like a team that could compete and compete at a high level to me in just that very quick one-year deal. So I think that Minnesota certainly could be in that same spot potentially.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
And anytime you have, you know, Nadine said this, and I agree, PJ Fleck's a businessman. Mm-hmm. He is. And football's a business now. We've said this so many times. And if it's going to be a business, who better of a CEO for your school than P.J. Fleck?
Mm-hmm.
Than P.J. Fleck. That's
yep.
it. So,
and by the way, that Ohio State game that they lost and they looked pretty terrible in, a lot of that was special team stuff. And it was they just made it just about every single mistake that you could possibly make in that game. And I think that you have to take that with a little bit of grain of salt in terms of the fact that Ohio State really lit them up.
I'll say this: it was fun. It was fun to be on that the Indiana football kind of bandwagon a bit this year. Mm-hmm. Excited for that. Exciting Gopher football season too. And I cannot tell you, I don't remember the last time I was excited for a Vikings game as much as I am tonight. Sunday night football. Get the spread of food out. It's going to be a great game. We'll talk about it next week. Everybody, have a great week. See you guys next week.